Alrighty, good morning, Friday. Did you see the full moon last night?
Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Pretty
apparently
impressive.
It's a blood moon.
Even so this morning.
Don't make any manifestations. Don't pray for anything. Apparently.
Yeah, oh, why?
Apparently, I don't know. I'm not a chakra hand, so I don't know these things. I'm not in
alignment.
Well,
then I'm not going to take your fucking advice. How about that?
Yeah.
If you don't know about these things, why didn't you just keep it to yourself then?
Because someone was like, it's a full moon, but it's a blood moon, so don't manifest anything. I was like, okay.
I just thought it looked very pretty, but I'm not going to read more than that into it.
Good for you. Good.
I will tell you, next Friday is a pubic holiday, which means we will not. Yeah, pubic holiday. So we won't be here next Friday.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, holidays ruin rhythm in life.
They
really
do ruin everything. And
whoa,
unless you're going away.
Why are you guys complaining? Away. Like, wait, why?
No, I'm not. But it does put a spanner in the works. So yesterday, of course, was yesterday. Hey, the Minister of Finance.
That one.
Now, and I want to hear some Pia's thoughts on this because I think she's going to give us a proper tirade. Now we have to calculate VAT with decimal points, which calculating VAT has always been irritating anyway. I mean, if it was like 10%, you would just know, you could always figure that out very quickly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing about theft is you want to just get to the bottom line.
Yeah. How much are you stealing?
Yeah. Like if you're now dicking around with,
now they're going to put it up by one half a percentage point this year.
Yes.
And another half next year.
So it's 16%.
So, but they, how do you like the way these guys are such crooks? How do you like the way they set you up for the next part, right? They're like, well, we're only going to put it up by half this year. And you're like, oof, well, we heard about two like a couple of weeks ago. Because they set you up for that as well. They're like, well, we're going to put VAT to 2%. And then suddenly his budget speech gets postponed. So now you're expecting that, right? That's the worst case scenario. And you're thinking, that means everything in my life gets more expensive by 2%. So you're like, whew, when they announce it's only 0.5, you're like, whew, it's not so bad. I didn't.
What? I think he handled that well.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Just explain what happened, Simpio.
James almost fell. That's...
James was tightening up the sharpness on my face and he almost tripped on the cord.
Yes, and right. I'm one of those. If what you fall idiot. In front of me, I will laugh at you. So
anyway, so they rub you up, they soften you, and then they add this 0.5%, and then they also have the so there's a before, there's a middle, and there's an after. It's like the worst possible case because then they soften you up for next year as well. So they say, but wait, there's more, right? So just when you think you can relax, they hit you with that one right between the eyes as well. And I don't think this is the end of it either. They're going to be doing some other wretched stuff. You know why? Because they've run out of money. You know that we spend...
No, correction. They've run out of corruption money.
Well, all money. Because, you know, we spend... I think it's between 60 and 70%. I can't remember the exact number. Mm-hmm. It's very nearly two-thirds of every rand that they bring in is used to pay off the debt that we owe as a country, the deficit of South Africa, right?
That's before they've had a drink.
So two-thirds before anything happens goes to pay the interest on money we've borrowed that we should never have been lent in the first place.
Yeah, because our government is lazy. I think
it's not so much lazy. We've actually got to call it what it is. I think they're quite stupid. Like they really are. Like
They're amateurs.
They're complete amateurs for the roles they have. And there's nothing more to it than that. That's all it is. That is what it comes down to. Amateurs.
But you were saying, Sipiwe?
Yeah, I think it's laziness in terms of thinking of every year they want to get more money, so let's tax people more so we can get more, right? And not looking at the bigger scale of things or looking at the economy to say, if we do this, what are the impacts on that?
Growth.
Right? Like the fact that we've only seen a 0.5% of economic growth is pathetic. And then you're going to increase VAT by 0.5 and say, no, it's not that bad because next year it's 16%. You might not feel it because you're getting paid 2 million every month. You live in these luxurious houses and security. So you're like, oh, it's not that bad. The everyday man is like, bread is going to be how much? petrol is going to be how much? And they don't want to take into consideration the people of South Africa. But hey, the social grants will be kept. You must be happy about that. You're going to slice them from 350 to 150. No, have a proper economic plan of how to grow the the country, have a proper economic plan on how to stop, you know, or pay off debt. How are we going to get out of debt? You know, it's basic, finances, basic, and they just don't want to think.
No, but these are not people who, I think Ben and you are both right here. And I think most South Africans know this. We can see through it, right?
Yes.
We can see that, first of all, we've been robbed blind by people who don't have anyone's best interests at heart except their own. Second of all, that they are actually quite stupid people. And that's why we can't get good financial management.
That's never said enough, because it's mean. It's racist. They're stupid.
They're actually stupid. Yeah.
And what confirms my theory here is that then people become stupid and vote for them. So this Friday, if you know someone who's stupid, call them stupid.
Yeah, and
it'll be amazing how things turn around from there. If you get called stupid three times in life,
it's like that horror movie where you look in the mirror and you say something three times and the monster appears.
I mean, right? I haven't been called stupid many times in my life, but when it has happened,
it really hurt you.
I've had to really assess what I've done, who I am, and where I'm going as a person. And now look at me. It's 6:05 on a Friday. I'm here.
We have better things to talk about. I mean, the whole reason we do.
But call people stupid. Call people disappointing. call people failures.
So, by the way, on the issue of being honest, here's a fat guy who finally admits the real problem.
He can't stop eating.
Well, yeah, because this is it. Everybody's like, oh, I can't believe it. Why am I so fat? I just don't understand. I wake up in the morning and
it just happened.
Yeah. People have got to stop saying, I can't believe it as well in life. Oh, you believe everything.
So, all right. So this guy finally admits what really, like, everybody should just admit. And there's a second part to I can't stop eating.
Mm-hmm.
And he admits that part too.
Okay.
I'm slowly transitioning. I'm changing my life.
What's been the issue?
I eat more than I move. I mean, that's the general issue for fat guys. Some people want to hear a tragic story about your thyroid gland. I don't have one. I mean, I have a gland. That would be tragic. I would be highly underactive. You just didn't have one.
So there it is.
I love
the truth.
It.
Yeah.
I love it.
And the truth will set you free. Like Ben says,
it does.
You know, account for it. By the way, if you're the stupid one in a relationship, you're the one who keeps screwing up, admit it. The only way you'll get better is once you admit that there is a problem.
So true.
Mm. So these are all related things. I like it. I like the way we're starting our Friday, getting all our shit out of the way so we can enjoy the weekend.
Exactly. Just don't be stupid.
Any exciting plans for the weekend?
My brother turns 50 next month.
Getting
to the stage now. My siblings are now old because I'm old.
Yeah.
And we're going to a place like an hour from here towards like Rustenburg.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my whole family's coming up. That's not my sister. She doesn't travel.
What, at all?
She's just not a thing, huh?
Really? So she's just decided at some age.
I mean, if you had to offer her a trip to Venice where a hunky man gondola rides her, she probably might have a go.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that came out all wrong. But no, she's got her own stuff. But my parents are coming up. My brother's coming up with his girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go out. There's like 60 of us.
Nice.
In nature.
Well, I'm glad that you're all going up here, or they're all coming up from the Cape, because do you know who's in Cape Town?
Dun-dun-dun.
Do you want to guess? Not someone you'd particularly want to bump into.
Cupcake.
No, Cupcake does spend a lot of time there.
I like everyone in this world except for Cyril and his mates.
Okay, well, you won't like this guy. So guess who's in Cape Town, living it up and trying to dodge being arrested?
Oh.
Uh-huh. Getting warmer. I'll give you a clue. Here's a picture. Where is it? Oh, there he is. Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden may be avoiding testifying in a laptop suit because of possible 3-month trip to South Africa.
See, that's giving us a see. No, Donald Trump's going to go see again, again with the South Africa. You guys are trash. Look what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, this already put the cherry on the cake for him. You imagine
this is
he's going to wake up and go, I hate those people. They're all crooked.
This is a bad advert.
They're treating
for us.
Some people very badly, but they're treating Hunter Biden very well, right?
Well, I tell you
and
what, he's gone to the right place.
Like, Cape Town can be so trashy. Everybody always says nice things about Cape Town. It can be very trashy.
No, I don't think that's Cape Town's problem. I think it's what people do in Cape Town because they feel like they're
shit. No. I'm just saying that they're not improving their reputation by having Hunter Biden.
Well, I don't think the guy who snorted
he thought was coke, but ended up being
invited there. Go, I think Geordie Hill said, "You know what? We need Hunter Biden this weekend to really kick us on."
I think he looked at the world and he thought, like, which country is so badly run that I could just chill there for as long as I need to?
Cape Town is so in demand. Hey, I watched this video this week about this guy bleating on about how digital nomads are now ruining Cape Town.
But they are.
Like, it's some sort of
let's call a spade a spade. They are because they're increasing the cost of living for Cape Townians.
Okay.
That's the side effect.
No doubt. But let me bring it down a second. That's like going up to a really hot girl and saying, you know what? You need to be less attractive because all of these guys are now trying to pick you up and now I don't have a chance. And
that's
wrong.
That's true.
I have a different analogy for you.
Bring it on because I thought mine was pretty strong. I just thought of it right now.
Well, my pillow's going to love this show because there's lots of people arguing. Go on.
Okay. So the different analogy I would use is like, the home that you were brought up in and basically somebody else coming in and kicking you out and saying you can't live here anymore because now it's mine. And that's what's basically happening. The people of South Africa.
It's your home. Hasn't stolen it yet from you.
Yes, but they can't afford to stay in their own country, right? Cape Town, which is the problem. That's the issue. We're not saying we don't want foreigners
it's a
here. I'm just saying already Cape Town is like so expensive. We all know if you stay in Cape Town, you challenge.
You know, you can go Bloemfontein. Yes. No one wants to go there.
Things are cheap. Guys, this is
Port Elizabeth.
You mean Quebec.
No, but guys, this is exactly how life works though. It's like I saw someone bitching about the fact that BMWs are too expensive and it's their problem. No, you just can't afford a BMW.
Yeah.
And it's like I can't afford to live in Cape Town. Well, I can't afford to live in Cape Town the way I want to live. So therefore I live here. Okay. And about me being here doing what I do, I'm uplifting Joburg. And if you can't live in Joburg, you can't afford that, live in Welkom. And then you uplift Welkom. So
before you know it, there's like a whole lot of international people that just stay here.
Yes. But that's what happens.
Hear me out. I'm not finished yet. So like then, because we've got something on the high end, it means the low end's actually functioning because people who have hopes and dreams are now living in Welkom.
No, the low end.
Why do you hate Welkom?
Why do you hate
Welkom? Welkom also deserves a life here, Sibiwe.
Yeah. Justice for Welkom. But
not as specific she is. People of Welkom are behind you, not her.
No, but the low end becomes like Joburg.
Yeah.
Great.
No, Joburg is not great. Have you gone to Joburg CBD?
But if we're all here making an effort, it becomes better. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that maybe we can be the change we want to see in this world?
I just think that also, you know, the things that people love about Cape Town, they're prepared to sacrifice some of the things they don't. And if one of those things is money, if you really care about having a beautiful view every day, then you'll want to live in Cape Town rather than in Joburg.
Guys, go anywhere in the world, nothing nice is cheap.
And if you like very low taxes, which we were bitching about at the start of the show, then you want to be in a place like Monaco. But to get to Monaco, you have to have big ammo first.
Everything costs.
Right? Everything costs. So I sort of agree again, and I'm not trying to just be devil's advocate here this morning, but I kind of agree with both of you. These are things that people think about every day. People who want to semi-great, people who want to move back. Apparently there's a wave of people. We brought this up on Wednesday's show. The wave of people heading back to Joburg.
My point, okay? So now Joburg, where we live, is now nicer because they can't get in at Cape Town. So now they're bringing it. So we have a better life. Do you not see how we all win here? No, it's not just, it always comes back to envy because people go, oh, look, this guy from England, look at him in Clifton. He's doing this because you can't fucking do it. Let's be honest. Stop being stupid.
No, people get jealous.
Digital nomads. Okay, if the guy's coming in there and suddenly Cape Town makes a law that
you can't trade crypto.
Like they make laws. Like people say, this guy's video who I watched, he's like, you know, they say digital nomads bring in 100,000 new staff. And then he said, I want to know if these restaurants and bars are now employing foreign people. Bitch, they're not coming here to fucking wait tables. They're coming here to work on their laptops because they're getting paid in dollars by someone in Sweden to go and spend money at those places. It hurt my head for a while.
People don't understand that unless most people can only think about their own pockets. So what happens is if you live in Cape Town, things get more expensive because there are more people with foreign currency there who are spending what to them is much less money, but what to us is much more money. So people go, this is bad. It's not really. It's not bad.
I totally get that point of view from them, sure.
But okay.
It's like this whole thing about your own pocket. Cyril and his mates only think about their own pockets. And what happens? We got to pay more VAT.
Yeah.
Now people are begrudging these people coming in. And again, stop envying and start winning.
You can find beautiful views in Lynbro Park, says Congo.
There we go.
There's
a South African.
Let's not lie to the people of
You can find beautiful views in Lynbro Park. People just need to fucking moan, grow up there. No.
Exactly. At a certain time of day when the sun's at a certain place. See, Chris gets it.
All right. Okay. Lynbro Park. That's great.
Imagine you listen to the show this morning from Velcom.
I know. You must be so pissed off. But then I don't think Velcom discovered the internet yet.
No, the Zamazamas, they have it.
Really? The Zamazamas.
I think they are the internet providers.
All right. Here's something fun. Imagine out of all the people in the world to choose as your therapist, you get this guy. And I just want to give you a bit of warning here.
Okay.
This appeared on my feed yesterday and I actually shat myself. You know when you see your phone and you go, you take a big deep breath and you're like, what the hell is that?
Mostly the thing that you send me on my Instagram, I do.
So this is very disturbing.
Okay.
Because this guy has a job helping people repair their relationships.
Ooh.
But I'm absolutely flabbergasted by what he looks like and what he's wearing and the fact that he's the guy that people are going to solve their relationship problems. Just, you'll see what I mean. Look here.
Okay.
If your relationship is in crisis, who you pick to get counseling from can make or break your relationship. It's the single most important decision you'll ever make for your relationship and for your family. I'm going to show you how to pick the right one. By the way, I'm Fred. I'm a licensed marriage family therapist. For 50 years, I've helped over 10,000 clients to save and fix a relationship, often without their partner's cooperation. If you're facing a breakup, call up for daily tips, DM me on Instagram with your questions, and click the link in my bio to get a free consult with me.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I really don't know what's scarier, that child or that therapist, but that creepy smile at the end, DM me for more help in your relationships.
The irony in everything he said, like choosing a therapist can make or break. And you're like, I'm not choosing you.
I would walk into that guy's room and the insides of my body would be screaming. They'd be going, ah!
I think he's great. You look at him. You look at him and you go, my husband's not so bad. But why is he wearing purple? I mean, come on.
I don't know.
He's on fire with all the other features of himself and he has to wear purple like Barney.
I don't know. There's a lot of color going on in that picture.
There's just a lot going on.
First of all,
he's the palest
guy ever. He's got like almost see-through eyes. He's got the whitest Hollywood teeth you've ever seen. You know when people do too much of that whitening shit? Look at him. Oof. And then that red, red, red beard and hair. And you can tell that's real. Huh? Ugh. Frightening.
Oh, but he also looks just creepy.
He has
that like Michael Jackson voice going on for him.
Mm. And the Michael Jackson voice doesn't help. Yeah, that's a good point. But I don't know what he did in his previous life to deserve that. Because that is an appearance. That's a punishment appearance.
It's unfair. And
right?
But like, imagine a whole hour. Like you've gone there.
He probably smells carroty as well.
Of course, you know.
And you're venting about the fact that your partner is not picking up after himself, and then he's like, just calm down.
Why don't you?
Why don't you try hugging each other more?
It's so hard because you know
that's what he sounded like.
In that Austin Powers movie, when the guy's got the massive mole,
yes.
It's like no matter what he says, you're staring at the mole. You're going, don't stare at the mole, don't stare at the mole. And then you just can't help it. And then you just explode. But
this guy's whole face is like something to see. I don't know what. I think that you're right. Like, probably he frightens people and they go, oh, what I've got isn't so bad when they see him. Right. And it seems he's got, like, he's talking 50 about
years of experience, he said.
I cut the clip short, but he talks about his testimonials. He's got millions of relationships he's saved. He's got a website. You can get see my website.
Well, and then, you know what? Actually, let's not be so harsh. Maybe when you go into his consulting room, he's got one of those like Chinese walls, like those little divider things.
Oh, yeah.
And then he plays like soft reggae in the back.
Who knows? I don't know how that would help your relationship.
Okay. Ultimately, if he neutralizes himself, he might have the best insights.
No, I think his voice at the end of the day, even if I didn't see him, it's just.
I'm here to help you solve your relationship problems.
Yes, the more he talks, the more I'm just like, let's hey get
guys,
out of here.
Hey guys, it's minute 10.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
Today we go to meet Agent Orange. Yeah, that's probably about it. Someone said something about like, oh my God, my paprika jar just came alive. Some frightening
have
things.
You notice how that's a thing now, like really hectic comments on Instagram things. Yeah. It's like if you ever see a video and you think, wow, that's quite out there, you go to the comments and people are in there by their thousands.
Vicious.
The puns,
yeah,
and the great meanness. It's hilarious.
Tracy says that's a real leprechaun. That's what that is. Looks like Chuck Norris gone ginger, says the edit booth.
Like I saw a guy with Down syndrome with nunchucks the other day.
Yeah.
First comment, look, it's Donatello.
But there are a lot of Down syndrome people suddenly making their star debuts on social media, right?
Power to them.
Yeah, no, sure. It's an inclusive place. And sure. All their powers.
It's like with nunchucking stuff. He was a ninja.
Yeah. Great. Good for him. I'm sure it was terrific. Video. I have two. Don't we have that video that I don't know if they're a couple or whether they just sing together.
Is this going to traumatize our eyes?
No, not really. I mean, You've seen so much. I thought the therapist would.
After the therapist, I think we're in for an okay day.
I'm doing what the government did when they said 2% VAT, and then they came back and said, no, it's only 5.5%, but next year another 0.5. So it's, you know, here it is. We've softened you up. Here's the thing you really need to see. And by the way, another nice German song to add to our repertoire of Dutch and German and Austrian and Swiss songs that we play on this show way too often for my liking.
Far too often.
Zonder te weten droomde ik van jou. Zonder te weten was ik heel de nacht bij jou. Nooit zal ik die nacht meer vergeten. Niemand die dit moois openbaar.
Well, at least they found each other, but that's not such great music.
It wasn't
either.
As bad as I was expecting.
Wasn't?
It's horrible. Tell me you don't like me by making a music video with the most unflattering positions. Like, why did we get that top view of the
millennium? Hold on, Ms. Tetua. Just hold on, because I don't know that there is a flattering angle that you can have for that funny necklace dude.
And tell us where that camera was meant to go in this world.
Okay, well, I've even got more for you.
Oh, no.
You deserve so much more. So here's a priest.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. He's doing God's work, right?
Hallelujah.
But he hasn't got arms. He's got little T-Rex arms, and then he has to do the communion. So it's always a Catholic priest.
My strong hand.
Use my strong hand, but they're little hands. They're little, come straight out of the shoulders. Have a look. Like a thalidomide baby. that it's, you know, some jobs. Look, it's.
I don't want to say nothing. I don't want to say nothing.
Little T-Rex arms. Like, let me give you head of communion, Chad. But he has to. Like, lean all the way forward.
So many bad.
You know, and by the way, anyone who's tuned into this morning is going to think, oh, we're just making fun of people with physical disabilities. No, these people are putting this stuff on the internet themselves. All right, that therapist he put that on the internet. He's advertising for work. The singing weird couple, they put that on themselves. This guy, this priest, he put that up. So. You can't blame me. I'm just noticing this stuff. And I'm saying it's great because now on the internet, you can see every kind of person. They all have a place. Everybody's welcome. And that means also that we can laugh at people together. We can decide what is entertaining together. Like that song we decided very objectively. I think it was no good.
It was horrible.
Yes. See, this is the beauty of living in 2025. Isn't it great?
Oh, yeah.
The congregation got shortchanged, says Prop Agenda.
Guys, stop it.
So how does he go and pee? I don't know. I thought about that.
Pee? How does he wipe his bum?
Like, yes. Yes.
Guys, peeing is peeing. You can kind of freestyle that a little bit. Does he have an arm extender? Hangs up next to the toilet?
It's going to be pretty tough grabbing those little boys, says Gavin. We don't make fun of people with disabilities. We make fun of people with mental disabilities too, says Congo Chris. Migs says, one day Gareth will learn to get a clean Instagram video instead of screen recording. Oh. Yeah, well, do you want the clips or not? Who else is going to do it, huh? I lie there in bed slaving over a hot phone to bring you the... to bring you this shit every day, and what are you going to complain about it? You know, Migs, you're banned from the show for the day. Get off.
I appreciate your saying.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. Father Rex is his name. Watching that guy brush his teeth must be agony. Well, yeah. Listen, there's so much to think about here.
Yeah, but what if his toothbrush is like a tennis racket? It's got a long stem. And he's out here with
a selfie stick.
I think that might be the easiest thing that he can do.
I think a lot of his things that he has extender handles to it.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably carries around some sort of apparatus that he can extend and grab things with.
He's got a toilet hand?
Toilet hand.
He's got a special toothbrush?
Like a telescoping thing with it.
And then on a hook, he brings up like a shoehorn, but there's got a hand on it. That's how he does the wiping of the bum.
Toilet hand. James, I'm begging, please find the German version of YMCA. It's hilarious, says Viasen. The accordion is such an underrated instrument, says Congo Chris from that music video. I don't understand why it fell out of favor. Bring back the treklavier.
But that had like an electric accordion.
Yeah.
Like there was stuff going on.
It was
on
also
there.
A much smaller version because he's a smaller person. Like he also had a smaller horse. Yeah, did you notice the smaller horse? Hey? That smaller horse. You don't think it was that? No, it's small.
But I don't think the guy is that. Like he was kind of big. He's. He was quite small, but
But he was like what 4 foot three eight.
So yeah, Simpiwe, it's your birthday this month.
Don't remind me, Kara.
Why are you upset that you're turning 30?
Don't say that out loud.
It's true though, she is. She's upset that she's turning 30. And yeah. I'm like, 30s are great.
It's the reason why I'm in black, because I'm like,
you're sad.
I'm sad that these are like the last few days of being 20 something.
Aww.
I still feel like a kid.
I'm going to get you a therapy session for your birthday with this guy. Show them the guy.
If your relationship is in crisis, who you pick to get counseling from can make or break your relationship. Okay. It's the single most important decision.
All right.
No, you don't
want that? That's a free gift. You know what they say?
No. You know, no. At this point, if you're going to give me that, then...
He does online sessions. It's, you know, you can do it.
Are you trying to traumatize me on purpose?
He can talk you into why your 30s are not so bad and you should be embracing this.
No, so now that you are 9 trillion seconds, 467 billion old.
Don't remind me. I don't want to like talk like you guys about like back pains and waking up and not feeling okay.
That's
and, like,
all avoidable.
You know, like I just want to stay young forever, but it's okay.
Lift weights and don't be around stupid people. That's it.
That's always good, but it's hard to.
I used to have dumb friends and I was lazy, and life was hard. Now look at me, happy,
single,
strong.
Did you have really dumb friends?
Well, yeah, I had like a job once, so I had to be in an office every single day and a certain thing.
But those were not your friends.
No, but I mean proximity and time. And then before you know it, you like you hang out.
Ben basically just said the people he worked with were dumb.
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did.
You actually did. Ben.
How to win friends and influence people? The Ben Karpinski method. Then you lose them all.
I think you guys are jumping to the wrong conclusion here because also there was a time frame on that. I had a job a long, long time ago when I was much younger.
Yes, yours. That means if you feel that the people you were surrounded by at the time were dumb and stupid, and you're saying you had a job,
mm-hmm.
it means that your colleagues were the dumb and stupid.
We're drawing if you keep rubbing it in like this, then yeah, maybe.
Now, anyone who worked with Ben in the last 10 years is like, sure.
You're dumb and stupid.
No, the last 10 years. The last 10 years of my life has actually been very enlightening.
Okay.
before that... Yeah, I was in that.
Okay. All right, Ben.
there's a lot to get to this morning. I don't want us to rush through it. We also got a friend of Ben's who's going to pop in the last hour this morning.
He's not dumb and stupid.
No, he's not. Well, we'll see. And he's involved in fitness. He's a sports conditioning specialist.
Ooh.
So he's going to come in and we're going to meet him and he's going to tell us all about hundreds of thousands of people he's helped across the globe.
Oh, no.
And I think
he has changed lives.
It started during COVID, right?
No, he's been doing it for quite a while. Like he's worked with high profile sports people, but then COVID, he really just kicked on with making it more accessible, finding more ways to get everyday fatties out of the bed. You know, like he did a lot and he's found a way that he can just become something for everyone, basically.
Okay.
Which is very admirable. Because he's actually a nice person, is where I'm going with that.
Yeah,
he's he cares and he's...
He has been trying to show that he does have a nice side after he's just told us everyone he worked with is dumb and stupid and fat and useless. All right.
so
this is bad news for anybody who doesn't like reality and escapes from that by eating weed brownies or other edibles. Apparently the government has banned them here in South Africa. Yeah. The National Department of Health, same people who are bringing you NHI, because, you know, we run state hospitals so well that we now want some of your medical aid money. Those guys, they're the ones who have banned the import, manufacture, and sale of all foods containing cannabis or its derivatives, despite recent legal shifts decriminalizing private cannabis use. This move contradicts the government's earlier push to develop a cannabis industry and has drawn criticism from businesses and legal experts. While private cultivation and consumption are allowed under the Cannabis for Private Purposes Act, commercial trade remains heavily restricted, creating legal uncertainties. So basically, they want to have their cake and eat it. They want to be able to look like they're progressive and they're allowing people to smoke weed whenever they want to, but they also want to control all of it. And they don't want you to have too much fun, and they don't want you to have too much weed. And I don't know how I feel about this, frankly. I've never been massively pro-weed, but at the same time, I thought we were moving in a direction. I wonder what's happened
here. Give people the choice. I mean, look, that stuff's rubbish for you, but give people the choice.
Yeah, let them decide.
Let them decide. The fact that is, again, stupid people.
Yeah, and they must have choices, but weed is not the worst. I don't know. In a universe of bad choices, like weed isn't... For people whose lives are really terrible, I'd rather have them doing weed than tick or something much more dangerous. It's just like a no-win situation. Right?
Look, I don't think it's about the weed. It's about the lack of principles and execution from a stupid government. Just be consistent. Okay. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to create an industry? Cool, create an industry.
Yeah, but now they're changing their mind. It's backpedaling.
Because they have no principles and they have no brains.
What do you say, Sims?
On behalf of people that actually like eat edibles and all of that. And yeah, like just let people be happy. I've seen how people like, oh, I get anxious, so I take this. And
yeah.
Like, you know, and they really are the least problematic people on earth.
There are.
I've not seen someone commit a crime because they're high on weed.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Like, they don't even know where they are most of the time.
That's actually a different way of looking at it. If we can stunt crime through bad choices like weed, I'm all in.
Yeah.
That's great.
The only thing they do is just eat afterwards. They get the munchies and then
fart crumb with weed.
Yeah. And that have the munchies afterwards.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking earlier, because it's not the kind of drug that's going to motivate people with bad intentions to do the things.
Hmm.
What it's going to do is remove any motivation to do this.
Become so relaxed and chilled, and then they just like want food. So, on behalf of those guys, I'm quite upset.
But do they then have the ability to steal that food?
No, they don't. They can't move fast.
They're too hungry to like want to go steal a packet of chips. They're just like, can I get food? And then they make a plan. But they don't actually commit crime. So, on behalf of those people, they're going to be very upset. And we're going to see another side of people that I don't think we should be experiencing, actually.
But again, people are so out of touch, that people make the law, so out of touch with the country that they're in. They've never worked that out. They've never actually spoken to someone.
It's because these leaders of ours, they're doing hardcore stuff, allegedly. You know, they're doing far worse than weed. And so they don't care about that. You know?
I don't know. I mean, if you ask me, when Cyril's always surprised by everything, and kind of like a weird pot smoker. You're like, oh my god, Jobbik is such a mess. Where's my iPad?
He's
just woken up from like a really bad hangover or a weed problem. I don't know. I don't even know if he smokes or drinks. Anyway, Ben, we have to talk about this because I think this is possibly the worst gym I've ever seen.
Ooh.
I want you to see it. I think it might be somewhere in Randburg, but I'm just guessing.
Randburg.
Well, yeah, I mean,
probably tell a country in the first 3 seconds.
Let's go. Let's have a look here. This is the worst gym I've seen.
Come on, ladies! Yeah. Come on, boys!
So I can't work out if it's in a prison or it's a fight club. They're all doing different things.
Yeah, that's someone who converted a garage into like, hey, I can charge $10 a month for this.
Yeah, but he's got everyone doing a different thing, and it looks like they've got some equipment.
Well, the thing is, like, when you only have equipment for four, that's why seven of them were star jumping, sort of.
Yeah,
and
there's
one person just had something while star jumping. And
random loose weights that are lying around.
But they're moving.
Yeah, they're doing something.
Yeah.
So it's not the worst, but I don't know. If you're paying your gym over 250 Rand a month and it looks like that, you probably should stop those debit orders.
East Rand, leave the East Rand out of this, please.
Oh, did you say East Rand?
No, you did.
I know not to say East Rand in this couch. You can sit there in your ivory tower.
What do you have to say about that? Defend your hometown.
I know you guys look down on the East Rand, but we don't do such things, okay? Don't do such things. We actually have class, and you know, we hold ourselves in a very high regard, and the one thing we know how to do for sure is fight, you know.
Yeah,
not gym like that.
Thanks for bringing the back, Superior.
Come on, so
you guys treat us with respect, okay? We know how to fight.
No, but come on, you guys got trickers from Brakpan, so please.
Ooh, by the way,
not from Brakpan.
Where is he from?
Pretoria, like the Blitz area out there.
Yeah, Pretoria, so
related to Brakpan.
I'm watching an awesome show. You know how we like to share when we find a really great show?
Cool.
It is in German and Latin, though. So you might not be so keen on that.
Lots of subtitles.
But you can get subtitles.
You are so niche, huh?
No, I'll tell you why I love it. Because it's it's called Barbaren, right? And it was produced by a German film company. And there's a whole lot of actors you'll never have seen in your life before. There's absolutely no one in the cast you'll recognize, but they all cast perfectly. And there are two seasons that they've made, which is amazing these days because, you know, everybody's got ADHD and a season does one set of shows and then
that's it.
Someone goes, oh, no, but we're not getting the ratings we want. And they can it. So well done to them for getting two seasons. I don't know if there's going to be a third on the way. I haven't been reading any of that stuff. But it's
called, with the amount of people that love German and Latin shows, you'd think there would be a huge
exactly.
demand.
Well, this, I'm getting to this. But it's called Barbaren, and it's set in, it's set around, you know, the year 910 AD, somewhere around there. So it's a famous battle that was fought between the Romans and the Germanic tribes in sort of northwestern, what is today Germany, Essen, that sort of area. Famously, there was the Battle of the Teutoburg Forest, where the Germans lured the three legions of the Roman army into the forest and destroyed them. They, you know, there were swamps, there were very tight little paths, there was a lot of rain, there was mud. They made fires, they made smoke, they hid in the bushes, in the undergrowth. They attacked these guys. They had no idea what was coming. To wipe out three legions of an elite Roman army during the reign of Emperor Augustus was a big deal.
You should have known from back then those Germans would be trouble.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And what's amazing is that the Germans speak a fair amount of modern German. There's a little bit of and they've gone to a lot of trouble to make sure that everything is as historically accurate as possible. They spent a lot of money on costumes and set. And they obviously had language coaches there because these guys speak for the first time ever what is probably the closest you'll get to how Latin would have sounded at the time of Jesus. Wow. So it's an amazing thing because I found myself, you know, when you're watching with subtitles, you always kind of read the subtitles, but you don't want to miss what's going on.
Yes.
Keeps you very engaged, yes. Right? So in a way, it's almost better for someone like me because I'll just, the minute I can hear something and I'm watching it, I just pick up my phone and start doing something else as well, and you're not concentrating. An amazing, amazing show. Great action. There's all the blood and guts and gore and fighting, if that's what you're into, which is good, because I think that that's probably how it was in those days. You know, There we go. That's
attractive.
Tusnelda in the front there. Tusnelda is a German, I suppose, the chief's wife. But she's a hell of a character.
Yeah, she looks hardcore.
Oh, yeah, no, she's fantastic. Yo,
back in the day, she looked a lot more like the woman from the accordion music video, though.
Behind her is her husband, who's Arminius, who was raised in Rome. Because what they used to do, it's a fascinating thing. In order to pacify the tribes, the Romans would take a son of every chief hostage and take them to Rome. And then they would raise them as Romans. And then they'd let them go back eventually to their families in Germania, and they would then be Roman. So they'd want to civilize their own tribe. So when they took over as the next chief, they'd kind of be Roman. And this guy, Arminius, is the one who eventually turned the Germans against the Romans, and he showed them how the Romans fought because he'd been in the army, how they would maneuver, what kinds of things you could do to cause disarray in the ranks, separate them from each other. It was an amazing, amazing story. So that's the first season, Battle of the Teutoburg Forest. But you can see, like, look at the detail they've gone to here.
Looks absolutely
It's phenomenal.
Spectacular. Yeah, I'm all in.
Very well put
together. Where does one find such a show?
I just downloaded it illegally, but what you going to do?
You get it on the legal platforms, Garrett.
You got it from HB Bro.
I'm pretty sure that there's a way. I'm not sure which. See if you can find out, guys. But what a great show. It is Netflix. That's quite right. So most people would be fine with that.
Okay.
Excellent, excellent show. So there, two seasons of something that's worth watching.
Ooh.
Because I always am sitting here going, oh, what should I watch? And I never give any suggestions. So there's a good one.
Okay.
And then somebody says here, is that Zlatan Ibrahimovic in the middle? No, I don't think so. She reminds me of Lagertha from Vikings. Yeah, again, you know, I love it when they cast women who actually were spectacular.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to insert a woman's story into everything.
Captain America is amazing. Captain Marvel. Marvel Maiden.
You just lost Gareth.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm standing up for female superheroes.
Oh, no. Come on.
you literally just lost her.
I lost myself halfway through there.
The Anglos, the Vikings, and the Romans couldn't defeat the mighty Scots, says Gray. Oh, please. When did the Scots, besides, you won once at Bannockburn. Every other battle you lost, you Scots.
It's a very good point, Gareth. I'm glad you bring it up so we can get into the sport. Six Nations this weekend.
Yeah. Aww. Now, while we're on battles. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Scots, they've done bugger all actually for so long. They've had all this promise. Then they bring in foreigners. And then their best foreigner got injured. And then they don't have enough foreigners to give it to the Afrikaans folk on the far side. So they're not going to win the Six Nations again.
No.
But oh, now, shame. If they can somehow spoil the party for France, England might win it this weekend.
Yeah, so, but why would the Scots do anything to help the English?
I know. What a conundrum. So basically, France hammered Ireland last week, hammered them to the point where Ireland are now third best in the world. If they had just lost by two more points, they would be fourth best. So you know what, Ireland, you're getting exactly what you're worth. They injured Antoine Dupont, just like they try to injure Malcolm Marx. So they'll take on Italy, will the Irish. If they beat them by 700 points, they still can't win the Six Nations because they need to rely on both England and France slipping up. So Wales versus England, that'll be a quarter to seven. And then France versus Scotland, that's the big one.
Yeah.
All goes to plan. France just have to beat Scotland at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. And they get the Six Nations.
Right. Excellent.
Which is the World Cup for Northern Hemisphere people.
Right.
Locally in football, big weekend because you know there's like a two-horse race. There's the Sundowns and then you get the Pirates. But it's always Sundowns and Pirates because they're just good. They're very, very good. So and
Sundowns is run properly.
It's good. They've got the player depth, the squad depth. I know this sounds like an Arsenal thing to say, but it's tough. Football is very tough. You stretch all your players. And for some reason, Sundowns just get it right because they've got the big squads. And they just know what they're doing. They've been doing it for like 4 or 5 years now at this highest level. As good as Pirates are, they've had some injury issues. They can't maintain the intensity. And then they also slip up against like average teams.
Yeah.
Like they basically are Arsenal. So the big one though, Orlando Pirates versus Sundowns, Sunday 3:30.
Okay.
It's so big that they're moving it to FNB Stadium.
Ooh.
So they get a sellout crowd. The demand for the game is so
That's
huge.
Excellent.
Wow.
And basically, if Sundowns win this, then let's be honest, they've won the league. I know it's only March, but it is. They've got this huge gap of points. So Pirates have got 4 games in hand. So even with those 12 points, they're still behind Sundowns if they were to win them all. But if they take another, I mean, Sundowns hammered them 4-1 last time they played. That happens again. Spirits are broken. But I know what you're saying. Sure. But where are Accrington Stanley in this?
Please. Where are the boys? Where are the boys at?
Well, guys, I knew they had to come up somewhere.
Come on. James, now you have
why
my
is
attention.
James looking so depressed when we talk about football?
I'll get to that in a second because his, you know, like the big teams play Champions League. James's team's not playing Champions League because they lost this week.
Oh, so they're out. Huh?
So, like, really big teams like Arsenal, Aston Villa, Real Madrid, Barcelona.
Right.
Where's Liverpool in the mix?
They're all into the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Liverpool?
Out.
No, they play for that overhyped English Premier League now. They're in the... James, what is the Carabao Cup? Is that you guys holding on to that? Oh, gosh.
What's it called?
It's basically a beer that no one drinks for a cup that no one cares about. James, we're in the Champions League.
Oh.
Arsenal in the Champions League.
There's only one
trophy you actually want to win. I mean, come on.
Okay. But we digress.
So, Accrington Stanley, you know, like, we've been trying to manage the attention around them because clearly they've never had so much attention. And we gave it to them and they buckled. We gave them the week off, right? Accrington Stanley 5, Newport 0.
Oh.
Hammered these oaks.
Okay.
The boys.
Joe O'Brien, Whitmarsh got 2 goals.
Let's not get
goals.
Too excited, though, because if we give them too much attention, they'll lose again. So back off. Let's back off.
We've got to appreciate this moment. I mean, obviously, they're playing Gillingham this weekend.
Who?
Gillingham. So they are...
Gillingham?
Is that
a real thing?
They're 3 places above them. But the important thing is now there's a bit of a breathing buffer against the relegation zone now for Accrington Stanley. Yeah, and obviously the English Premier League, that'll also be going on still. You know, Man City versus Brighton will be a big game on Saturday at 5. Ipswich will be losing to Nottingham Forest. Really big game on Sunday. Arsenal, Champions League team in the quarters there. They are taking on Chelsea, who are playing the Conference Europa meetup, I think.
That also sounds horrible.
Yeah, so that'll be 3:30. It's a big top of the table clash. Well, I say top 4. And then... Yeah, English Premier League, cool. Liverpool's going to win that one. Wow. Champions League, where it's at. It's also a huge weekend because we got the Formula One back.
Ooh.
I know, how exciting is that? In Australia. So that's basically a little section of Melbourne, which they just cordon off for one weekend, and they're right around a park. It's so cool. Like, if you're in Melbourne, you can go and drive whatever car you have in the exact place that they drive.
Yeah.
So it's a street circuit that's next to a pond. It's beautiful. It really is beautiful. But yeah, Formula One, it starts. We now know, we'll know after this weekend, what's Lewis going to be like in red.
He's driving for Mercedes now, isn't he?
No, of course, very far wrong.
Oh.
I'm so glad you listened to me. It really makes me feel so good. Lewis Hamilton is a Ferrari driver. That's why I said in red. Mercedes have got an 18-year-old and that androgynous he-she man.
What?
I always forget his name. That's why I... George Russell.
George Russell?
He's a he-she man. That's how you describe
Show
it.
Show me a picture of this
George
person.
Russell looks like a housewife who's just flattened two bottles of Chardonnay and is looking for a divorce.
And that's right. He's driving for who?
Mercedes,
but he's good.
I never pay attention.
George has been great for the last two seasons. He's like the future of Mercedes. But then, despite him, they found an 18-year-old kid to say, yeah, you're actually over the hill, George. So don't look for too much out of Mercedes, I don't think.
All right.
So yeah, the big dynamic is that Lewis Hamilton, yes. Charles Leclerc, Ferrari, and then Max Verstappen's got some guy called Liam Dawson. Like, you can't be a Formula One driver with a working class name.
No.
It should be Liam something Delagalish, or it's got to be more exciting than that. It's like, you can't be U.S. Secretary General if your name is Pat Willow.
You have to have a very strange name, like Utant.
Hyphen something. Yeah, George Dawson DeLette.
Tang for Tang. Olay Biscuit Barrel.
So, Liam, it's somewhere along this, you know, like, he's already doing quite well. His hair's like highlighted or whatever, but throw something in that. Like, get a Mexican slant to it. Checo Perez, he was shit. They called him Checo.
He could be called Winton Limbim Bintim Bilimbinim Binim. And then people would believe it.
Have a go. Because if you only come in there with a single name like that, you got one season here at best. So that'll be probably from like 6 a.m. Sunday morning, obviously, because Australia lives in the future.
There is. That the guy?
Whoa. Ben.
What's going on there?
I have to tell you, this guy is actually quite good looking. I disagree with how you describe him. Look at those eyes. Look at the
He doesn't
cheekle.
Look it. Come look, on. Okay. Hang
he
on.
Looks quite rather attractive.
I do see the housewife drinking bottles of Chardonnay. I do see it.
Have you heard him talk?
No.
No, of course.
The mannerisms and everything. He is.
Okay, now we need to hear him talk. Coming up in the next hour, we'll have a clip.
Guys,
for you,
I mean, obviously, I'm being incredibly mean and obnoxious, and I do apologize for that.
No, but, don't.
So another huge thing for the weekend, it is the Players' Championship in golf, right? So the PGA Tour, who call themselves non-profit, they've got this place called the TPC Stadium Course in Sawgrass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeepers, they must have... The money that's gone into this place is crazy.
Really? How can you tell?
The money is so crazy. So in the early 90s, they had this clubhouse that looked like this huge, stupid pyramid, okay? And then one of them said, like, yeah, guys, this is a bit dated now, hey? The next year, they rocked up the tournament, and there was like this new villa, this like sprawling mansion that was designed by.
A new bombshell has entered the villa.
It was amazing. And this golf course, it is so fucking perfect. Like, the Masters is the Masters, right?
Okay, yeah.
This course, TPC Sawgrass, you watch it and go, like, were mini elves cutting those with like pruning scissors? It is so perfect. And then for shits and giggles on this one tree. And every now and again, these guys, because they have no problems and they get very bored counting money, they go, you know what? As an homage to our designer, Pete Dye, back in the day, we must really bring that tree back that used to be there originally. These oaks, they literally moved like 100 meters of earth to find a tree that looked like a tree from the 80s. They put it back on a tee box to create this arch effect.
You're joking. This is what people who have too much money
spend. Now you know what I fucking watch on YouTube too.
That's amazing.
It is incredible. So
I mean, these backstories really make sport fascinating.
So it's probably like the purse is something stupid like $30 million.
Wow.
So it's the PGA Tour's major. Okay. So you get the four majors.
Mm-hmm.
And I know through history and all that kind of stuff, the four majors are incredible. But after watching all this stuff this week, it's like this is one of the real biggest tournaments. It's only been going for like 50 years.
I want to see the course now.
TPC Sawgrass. It is phenomenal. So it's the PGA's tourist major. I mean, you know that they've got a big dick swinging contest against LIV. Saudis and stuff. So 48 of the top 50 players are playing this week in this tournament. Mm-hmm. So it is the who's who. Like, if you're not there, then you either on LIV or you're not good enough.
Wow.
And this course is so perfect. It's impossibly perfect, and it's difficult. The leaders are currently only on 6 under. So they had good rounds. Lucas Glover, JJ Spawn, and Camilo Villavijagas.
That's a good Formula One
driver.
Villavijagas.
Yeah, he's Colombian. His last name's only got a very few letters, but it's
Villavijagas.
But you've got to say it like three times over. And then Rory McIlroy is 5 under. Now, I've been saying this for like the whole year. This is Rory's year to win the majors, do all the kind of things, grow some balls, be the guy, all that kind of stuff.
Is he delivering the goods?
Well, he's 1 back, so he's 5 under. It's a big tournament. It's a big statement tournament. Scottie Scheffler's been the greatest the last few years. He's actually won this thing back-to-back the last 2 years. Only guy to ever do it. No guy's ever gone for 3 times. Only one guy's ever won this event 3 times in total, and that's Jack Nicklaus. It's a huge golfing weekend. It's a huge Formula One weekend. The Six Nations rugby, I think, is great, even if you don't like rugby that much.
Wow.
And then football's good, huh? Football's really good right now. As James mentioned in the shadows there, Liverpool's playing for some cup, which we don't have time for.
For anyone who listens to James.
And Accrington Stanley versus Gillingham on Saturday. There'll obviously be no live feed at all.
Discovered that there's a Formula One driver who's a man, but he actually looks like a housewife with the Chardonnay problem.
A good-looking housewife.
Come on.
See, eventually.
Guys, George and Kimmy here. Hello, guys. Super excited to welcome Kimmy to the team. And over to you, just a few words.
Yeah, hello, guys. It's Kimmy. Super excited to start this new adventure. It's a dream come true. Massive thanks to Mercedes and everyone who made this possible. And yeah, I cannot wait to get started and to work with George.
Nice one. Cheers, guys.
All right, that's hilarious.
Now, on one of our On the Bounce Show 101s, we actually showed Toto Wolff, team owner basically of Mercedes, and then you see Kimmy Antonelli, and it looks like Toto knows Kimmy's mom.
Oh wow! But that little guy in that video—that was the other guy,
like
the kid
being groomed, right? Like,
no, but that's the kid that you were talking about.
18-year-old boy is racing. Basically, he's Lewis Hamilton's replacement.
Okay, but he's now been brought in by the one who looks like a housewife.
No, well, George isn't really. George is like
no.
The
I
senior.
Mean, on yes. that video, yes. he's being introduced. Yes, yes. Okay. And Formula One can be fascinating. You just have to dig deep.
It's got
to
be spicy.
This is, how does this work? So do they take turns driving? I know nothing.
He's his own car, Gareth.
He's got his own car.
Yeah,
but he's barely out of school.
You know how incredible, we talk about like our minds being blown by things on the internet. At 18 years of age, he's going to be on the grid with Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, all the big...
His name is Kimi.
In a car that will go fucking 500 kilometers.
That's customized to him as well.
He's 18 and he's got the balls to do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I have
pretty
the
impressive.
Most respect for this
that's
guy.
That's good.
Yes.
And obviously George is going to spike his drink halfway through the season. He's going to kick his shins because he's a bit of a bitch. There's going to be infighting. This is going to be the best Formula One season ever.
So the real house, what?
The real drivers of Mercedes. It's going to be amazing, guys. And then in June, this week, the trailer dropped for the Formula One movie, in the Brad Pitt Formula One movie, which they made in the race.
Yes.
So when they were racing the last 2 years, Brad Pitt's fictitious team was racing in the race too, in the pit lane, all that stuff. And the makers of Top Gun have made the Formula One movie.
Ooh, it's going to be good.
You watch this trailer this weekend. You will be something about you will be aroused by this. It is phenomenal. It's coming out in June.
Ooh.
Best Formula One season ever.
Okay, well then,
this
you
is
know
great
what? This
may marketing
be,
for it.
This
like,
may
sure.
finally be the thing.
That's, you know, yeah. I don't care about anything other than rugby, MMA, and golf. But these things really do grab you by your sporting
most
loins.
Tender parts.
Make Sundays exciting again. That's what Formula One's going to do. All those kids that couldn't throw a ball in school. Formula One's your go-to.
Lee says, Gareth, watch Drive to Survive. You'll get all the drama of Formula One. So good.
So that's in season 7 now, and the ratings are plummeting hard. So Formula One needs the Formula One movie. But that's another thing, you know, we spoke about this week on the show, is that the access to Formula One is so good now that you expect everything.
Mm.
You expect, like, you think you know these drivers so well that Drive to Survive is not enough anymore.
Well, it's not like George. I don't think he's got a lot going on.
people now expect everything. They want to be in their houses. They want to be on dates with these people. This movie has
Slippery Pickle says, to be fair, Swedes start competitive racing around 5 years old.
Oh.
And okay. Finns.
Well, we figured out today this week on the show that Arsenal and other teams are scouting six-year-olds.
Yeah, that's wow. How serious they take it.
If you want to make it in European football and your kid's not getting noticed at the age of six, send him to the mines.
Congo Chris says, George Russell looks like she owns a Maltese poodle and got retrenched from her life orientation job. Oh, man. Steve Buscemi, like Goiter for sure, says Raven. Meanwhile, in the location, kids are kicking an empty bottle for sport. Yeah, and this guy's being paid how much to race around?
Come on. You can't hate. Talent is talent.
I'm asking, what does he earn, that kid who's...
Well, like, I'm not sure. They probably got him
hundreds
on
of millions
They
of
probably
dollars.
Got him on a couple of bottles of Fanta and like...
Oh.
And some rolled-up sweets. Because you never know. Like they get them in. Toto's smart. And as I said, Toto's probably actually birthed this child through one of his rampant nights or too much beer and... Guys, I don't know. This is just me saying I don't have the stats for you.
Let me see those two again, yeah. Just to wrap up this hour.
Look, Kimi Antonelli will be making probably about $7 million.
Hey, guys, it's George and Kimi here.
Hello, guys.
Super excited to welcome Kimi to the team and over to you, just a few words.
Yeah, hello, guys. It's Kimi. Super excited to start this new adventure. It's a dream come true. Massive thanks to Mercedes and everyone who made this possible. And yeah, I cannot wait to get started and to work with George.
That's all. Cheers, guys.
As well,
yeah. I want to see what Toto. This is the housewife. I want to see what Toto Wolf looks like.
If you can find a picture with Toto and Kimi,
that would
and
be
then
a good
if
idea.
If you can go back to where Toto was 18 years ago, and then
yeah.
Make a comparison. James,
we need an investigative journalist.
I reckon after like
what's Karen Morn doing with
after like the Monza GP.
Monza.
Toto was like lung outing some Italian tunny, and then
yeah. Okay, but what is funny is it doesn't look like George really wanted to record that video anyway.
The second time, it seems like they had like a mom, you know, right there behind the scenes on some smile.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then the lines.
A theater mom, a stage mom,
like,
yeah.
Mercedes, thank Mercedes, thank Mercedes. Okay, there we go, got it. And they probably did it 10 times.
But that guy's, and he's
father's
son.
Wow. Okay, yeah. He's a bit weather-beaten, that chap on the right.
Well, Toto, I mean, he's had Mercedes the last couple of years. They've given him no joy. That's why he's got his kid, and he's like, well, at least I might as well make it a family affair. But, I mean, that's... Okay, look, the curly hair is going to be from the Italian mom.
Yes.
Go back in his sort of history. I think fair enough. A fair call.
Yeah. Ben, you may have pointed out something everyone else has missed.
Guys, you know I always find the story in the story.
Yeah. Good. But this is why we keep you.
And this is why I think it's going to be such an emotional podium moment. Toto's going to cry when little Kimi gets on there.
Yeah.
And the mom's nowhere in the picture. She's probably been palmed off with a yacht or something, but it'll be such an emotional moment. And then Drive to Survive Season 8, the bombshell is he reveals the DNA test. You heard it first.
All this Latin I've been watching, this show I'm watching, I know how to say that in Latin now. Me fili, my son.
Guys, it's all happening. Look at the ratings for Drive to Survive. They are plummeting steadily. Season 8, Kimi is my son.
And then suddenly, and the movie at the same time, it's
Season 8 is going to be an absolute, it's going to be amazing. Netflix is going to be so chuffed with this.
All right, we got to take a break. It is just after 7 o'clock Friday morning. It's the 14th of March. Tomorrow is the Ides of March. We'll have to talk about that in a second. If that means nothing to you, pick up a history book, you embarrassment.
Ides of March.
Yeah, Ides of March tomorrow. But there's lots of other stuff to talk about too. And we'll be joined by our guest, John O'Mankey. So we're going to speak about all kinds of things related to sport and fitness and all the stuff that you need to know on your Friday as you head into the weekend. Don't go anywhere.